I have to say it because no one else has said it. Craig's a big Blues fan. Adam's not. But the Blues won, and I'm super excited. Yeah. Also, a little disappointed that I couldn't wear my Blues gear because I'm preaching. So I thought I'd just wear the Blues socks. Just, I had to have something. But to continue, how many of you have ever had a authority figure call you by your full name? Yeah. Boomer, you're a perfect example, aren't you? It's always usually mom or dad or a boss or something like that. But the one I always remember is mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, which happened all six of them be here and can vouch for this very well. There was always that time that if my middle name was said, I knew I was in trouble. If it was mom, it wasn't near as bad. You dealt with mom, it was good. You're in trouble, you're grounded. Okay. But if she ever said, just wait till your father gets home, you knew you were in a lot of trouble. Unless you were me, which my dad was an over-the-road truck driver, so I could wait a couple more days before I saw dad. Okay. But usually, if dad says something, you're running for the hills, or you're hiding. But for normal people, if they say, wait till dad gets home, it's usually, I'm going to go hide out in my room and think about what I've done. So a name has power, doesn't it? Just like Jesus' name, but it has a different kind of power. Adam talked last week about the power of Jesus' name in John chapter 18, and how Jesus said, I am, the soldiers fell over. Everyone fell over. So I'm going to continue that thought as we open up our Bibles to Acts 3. We start in verse 1, going to verse 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. Pretty incredible stuff. And there's a lot to digest here in the first 10 verses of the chapter. We see in the first verse that Peter and John are still practicing Jews. They go to the temple three times a day to pray, sunrise, the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., and sunset. And this is no coincidence that the man was set right outside the temple gate. It was very well known that if you were a practicing Jew and you were going to the temple, you had to obey God's law. That was to worship him and to make sure you give the need to the charity. Now, getting to Peter and John, the lame man would have been very disappointed that someone would just say, I don't have any silver and gold for you. I mean, that happens today if you ask for a dollar. And like Caleb and Dalton are a perfect example. They always want a soda. And if one doesn't have a dollar, the other one's got to have one. And if it's not, then they just are so disappointed they don't get a soda that day. But think about it. If you're a beggar, you don't have anything. If someone comes to you and says, I don't have anything for you, you're not eating. That's something that you don't get to use to live. But Peter and John go into a deeper thought here. They say, I don't have this, but I have something even more valuable. And this is where it gets good. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He doesn't pray to God to heal this man. He doesn't ask Jesus to come down from heaven and heal this guy. He just uses the power of Jesus' name to heal him. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever torn a muscle, broken a bone, pulled something. My back always hurts when I lift a lot. I don't know why. I may have tweaked something a long time ago. But that's something that takes weeks or months to fix. It's not just I'll go sleep for a few hours and hope my muscles feel better. No, but this was an instantaneous miracle.
God doesn't, or Peter doesn't say, well, someday you're going to walk again. Maybe 3-4 years down the road. No, he pulls him up with his, or by his right hand, and immediately his feet and ankles are strong, and he begins to walk. And he doesn't just begin to walk. It says in verse 8 that he goes walking and leaping and praising God. Now, apparently, Adam and Alan are a lot older than I am. Apparently, there's a song that goes along with this passage. And Adam loves to sing it and get it stuck in my head when I'm reading this passage. And he's not in this room, so I'm not going to sing it. I don't like a cappella. Sorry. You'll just have to ask him later to sing it for you. But some commentators here in verse 8 say that it's overloaded. It says, and leaping, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, if we go later on in Acts 4:22, it says the man was over 40 years old. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not telling a 40-plus-year-old man that hasn't walked his entire life to calm down. I don't think that's going to work. I think he's probably going to run after me and try to punch me. It may happen. We never know. But going on in our story, I'm just going to summarize our in-between text here. As we go on in the chapter, Peter begins to speak the gospel because of this miracle. People are swarming around them trying to learn more and more about this Jesus that just healed this man. Now, they get a big enough crowd that it gets the attention of the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. The text even says they were greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they were arrested. And that brings us to chapter 4, verse 5. I'll be reading to verse 12. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter addresses the fulfillment of Jesus' prediction. If we look back in the gospel at Luke 12 and 21, we see this. Luke 12 says this, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And Luke 21, verse 13 through 15 says almost the exact same thing. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate before how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. It says there in the text that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them they would face their trials and that they would not need to think about their responses. But he would give them the words they needed to speak. He's not saying anything any different than he would have when he talked to the crowds in the temple just a day earlier. The source of power in this miracle was the name of Jesus. The name that is coupled with salvation. The word saved is used in two senses here. One is referring to the lame man's healing in verse 9. And the second refers to the salvation from sin in verse 12. So what do we do about the fact that Jesus' name is powerful and can heal and save? Let's see what Peter did. We continue on in chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that we may spread, it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them not to speak any more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." In the face of opposition, we see that Peter and John don't back down. They were bound to do God's will just as Jesus commanded. As a matter of fact, the apostles indicated that they, even if they wanted to, they could not hold their tongues. Now, many of you probably don't know this, but Andy Conklin, the campus minister here at Rolla, and member here at Ridgeview, was my youth minister. Yeah, he's that old, guys. Tell him that. Tell him that. As soon as I came with, just side story, just as soon as I came with Bryce, he was walking down the hall and I was holding my kid and I said, how old do you feel now? He feels old, it's okay. But he was my youth minister from my sophomore year of high school to my senior year. And you wouldn't notice it today, but we butted heads a lot. I was bullheaded as a teenager, and I'm not sure why. Okay, maybe still a little bullheaded today, and maybe not as much. But Andy and I never saw eye to eye. It was one thing after another. We argue, or I'd be in trouble for something. And at one point, my junior year of high school, I left the youth group. I couldn't handle it anymore. He was just too much on me. He was on my case 24/7, and I was done. I left and went to another youth group of a youth minister I knew from CIY, and I said I had had it. Now, unfortunately for me, my parents did not want their son going to another church other than with them. So I had to go back to Christview with Andy. And to this day, even though we had our differences there, there are two passages in Jeremiah that are just drilled into my head from Andy. One is Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for a welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." I think he said that one probably 1,000 times, if not more. It was sheer repetitiveness that stuck in my head, and by the end of it, I would roll my eyes, because every time I had a problem, he would just say, "Jeremiah 29:11. Thanks, Andy. That's real helpful. As a teenager, I'm sure that would have stuck in my head, but apparently it did. Now we go to that second passage that really, really hit home when I was reading this passage here in Acts 4. It's Jeremiah 29. It says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Peter and John were saying that even if they wanted to, they could not stop spreading the word of Jesus. So what are we going to do when we face that ourselves? Are we going to just give in and just roll over or stay silent? Or are we going to spread the message of Jesus Christ any way that we can? How are people told to stay silent? In other countries, that's easy. I mean, in North Korea, you're arrested for even owning a Bible. In other countries, you have underground churches just trying to spread the word, and if you're caught, you're killed. But that's not how it is here in America. We have it pretty easy. We have freedom of religion. But have you ever felt like you had the pressure not to mention Jesus' name? I mean, you won't be killed. Well, most likely. But you're worried about your HR, your boss, your friendship, or maybe even angering somebody just because you want to speak the name of Jesus. But why? The name of Jesus is powerful. It can heal the lame and dumbfound the highest authorities. It can even raise the dead. And there should be no fear in sharing his name. As I close today and I ask the worship team to come up, I want you to think about one relationship, one instance in your life that you could share the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be like you have to go into your workplace tomorrow and spread the word from standing on a box or something like that. It's just simple as maybe your friend doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you have an argument with somebody that doesn't believe and you need to spread that word. Maybe someone's having a hard time and they just need to hear the word of God. As we close today, I want you to think of that person. I want you to go to that this week and pray about it and maybe spread the word of God just a little bit farther. Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for today and we thank you for this message that you gave to us that Peter and John did not back down when it came to spreading the word of God, to spreading the word of your Son. That powerful name can heal the sick, raise people from the dead, and even just tear open hearts, God. We just thank you that we have that today. As we go out this week, I just want to pray over the hearts that we would open up and just talk about your name, God, because your name is the most powerful thing that we have. It's in your Son's powerful and precious name we pray. Amen.